still discussing the four tefillah tefillah. We have them during the tefillah shacharis, and we've been discussing the mahalach of really most of the mefarshim who speak about the siddur. And we saw a couple of easy examples of this. One from Echai Adam. We saw from the Derech Hashem, and we started discussing last time. I think that's what we gave the introduction to the biur, using the same basic structure, but the biur of the nefesh hachayim by Rechaim v'Lashon. And that's what we're going to focus on more today, and then jump into a whole different angle. So, very, very brief chazara. That's not really a chazara, okay? But just like give us a bridge, a sentence over here. Last week we spoke about the significance of the number four in the world of machshava, the four points emanating from the oneness and the achdus habore. What the concept of a bria was, the concept of the davet olamos were. That the Ribbono Shel Olam had created, and the world that we live in with all of its imperfections, the Arba Galios, all the different things that challenge us to be able to... All the different things that challenge us to be able to really focus in the most extreme and profound way on what's a tachlis and ikir in the world. Okay. We discussed how the number four plays a role in terms of the makeup and composition of every human being, right? The different chalakim that the person's neshama, his guf, the nal, as we spoke about, that carries the ikar of all of us. And if I'm not mistaken, the last thing that we had discussed was the incredible illusion that people have of thinking that their existence and themselves are limited to the ridiculous, feeble things that you see when you stare in a mirror, and we lose track of the fact that the real self, the ikar parts of us, are the davka, the things that are connected from down here below all the way up to Shemaim, all the way up to the Kisei Yakavod. And part of the task that we have in life is to be able to cut through the stupidity and all of the falseness that exists, and really be able to see what's real about ourselves. With all that in mind, and again, just remember, I think last week was when we had like that blackout also. That was like it was a bit of the dark. Okay, right. So if we can, somebody's feeling different. Somebody's feeling different this week. But that's why, with that in mind, we can start now to understand how the process of a tefillah in the morning, the process of a tefillah is going to be able to touch upon and develop a person in really one of the most significant ways that he possibly can be developed. Now, we're going to read through what the Nefesh HaChaim has to say, and then obviously we'll make a couple little points as we're going along. So we're starting off over here with a Haggah, with one of the notes that the Rabbi Yitzchak Volozhin, Reb Chaim's son, had wrote on the Nefesh HaChaim. That's in the Rashi print, and the Nefesh HaChaim itself is printed here in the bold. And again, I definitely want to read it inside. And then we'll try to elaborate. And as we say, Lafi Erkeinu, what we're understanding. So says the Nefesh HaChaim the following thing. A lot of us don't have the sheets, okay, but that's a fair forget from last week, but I'm going to give out the new one soon. But I still want to read it, but try to listen in carefully. Some of the words are legitimately going to be not understood until they're explained. And some of the words are illegitimately not going to be understood. V'lachein, and therefore, klal seder hatfila nechlek ledalir. The tefillah is divided, as we know, into four different chalakim. Shehena dalir b'chinos naran v'shoresh haneshama. Explains the Nefesh HaChaim that the four chelkei hatfilah, and again, we're going to use some of the other svarim speak about this in a slightly different way, but right now we're going to use the scheme that he has. The three different basic levels of the person's neshama, nefesh, ruach, neshama, those are the things we spoke about last week. And then something even higher than that, the shoresh neshama, the root of his neshama. If we imagine, just again, and I think this is sort of where we get up, mamash, like where we get up to the end of last week. If you can imagine that there is the me, I'm just going to use, for lack of a better description, there's the me and where I come from. If you can imagine a person's arm, yeah? Arm. And let's say the arm is the you, okay? And the arm comes, that's not really true, but the arm is like stuck in a socket, right? And then like you have like those like mean parents that go pick their kids up by the arm and flip them over and like, what do you call it? You dis...
Dislocate.
Okay, see what experience of that. Okay, you dislocate. I don't do it to my kids, but okay, whatever it is. But you guys came with you dislocate somebody's arm. And but again, when you like
what?
Locate the guy's arm, hey, here's my arm, locate my arm. When you locate it, after it was dislocated and you put it back into your demonstration, you know, and you put it back in the guy's shoulder, so you have the, here we're gonna describe right now the shorish. Where does the person come from in Shemayim? Now, let's just read it, and again, we're going to explain as we go along. Hakarbanos, heim neged bechinas hanefesh ve'olam hanefesh ha'asiyah. The chelik of the karbanos, from Birkas HaShachar through Psuge de Zimra, that corresponds, and again, this we've talked about before, to the what we call the olam ha'asiyah, the world of actions and maisim that we live in over here, the physical existence. That's the part of our nefesh that's there. The nefesh, as we described last week, is the chelik of the person, the shama, that provides him with activity in life here in the world that we're living in. And when the pro, because after all the karbanos ultimately have something to do with different things that the person's nefesh has done here in this world. And he brings an example from one of many psukim in the beginning of Vayikra, the nefesh, ki secheta, vehevi, the nefesh who does something wrong, brings a carbon chattis, nefesh this, nefesh that. The nefesh, that's the guy here down in this world. And through the initial, through the first chelik of the tefillah, what the person is doing is, again, we're going to call it right now, gaining a connection and a focus, tapping into that very, very basic spiritual element of his life, dafka here in this world. And when you think through the obvious, that's why we're, like I just talk about it for a second, when you think through the obvious, we understand that part of the davening focuses on all the worldly, mundane things that are going on in our world of Gashmias. All the brachas that we're making in the morning speak about things that are taking place in our physical life, whether it be from the Tilas Yadayim they're having to the Asher Yatzos, which are quite physical, to all the Birkas Hashachar, Pokeh Ivra, Matir Surim, v'chule. Then we move into the world of the Karbanos. And of course, the world of the Karbanos themselves, which are part of this basic, what we call the foundation of the tefillah, starting off over here on the ground and building ourselves. Of course, all the karbanos we know, because we know a lot of different things, even if we don't realize we know them, but the world of the karbanos, as represented in the real karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, certainly were exactly that idea of bringing out the spiritual connection, the ruchni yizdik kesher that we have here, davka in Olam Hazeh, a Beis HaMikdash and karbanos, which are a place where Shemayim v'aretz are nashkia hadadi, where Shemayim v'aretz are kissing and touching each other, where you have a place in the world that, place of course means a physical thing, a makom in the world, which is kokula ruchni, where you have maisanisim all the time, ashras ashkina, that's the place where all of the ruchnias comes out, even in the olam hagashmi. That's the place where you take, let's just think through very quickly, just listen carefully, I'm going to say it quickly, an amazing part about a carbon, how a carbon and all of the carbonos bridge the entire Gashmi's existence that we have here in this world. The animal, of course, as we know, is going to be keeping itself alive by grazing on, I'm going to call it grass right now. We like grass. The animal's going to be sitting there eating its grass, you know, like as opposed to teenagers who, whatever, eat different kinds of plant life, weeds and grass, whatever. The animal, okay, the animal is doing its grazing. The animal's out there grazing on the ground. And the grass, of course, grows from the ground. Now, let's stop and take a very, very quick little thought, right? You have the ground. We know the Kuzari's four chalakim of the breed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. Domain, Tzomeach, Chai, and Medaber. The domain produces the little grass. That's the Tzomeach, right? The Tzomeach carries within it all of the koach and all of the nutrients that the domain, that the ground, the earth, the inanimate things had given it. The animal consumes that grass, and the grass now basically, by getting broken down, digested by the animal, becomes an integral chelik, a part of the behema that's there. So the behema now is comprised of behema, that's the flesh, that's like going out for supper, and then the behema also has within it the tzemeya, within it the domeh. The human being comes along and does one of two things now. Either as the makriv of the carbon, the person who's bringing the carbon, taking that and elevating that even more, taking a animal which is now connected and comprised of also the plants and also the ground, and bringing that to the Ribbono Shel Olam, of course, through the incredibly Heilige Avoda of the consumption, the Achilas HaKarbanos. Rashi, in many places in Shas, tells Achilas HaKarbanos are mitzvah, not just on the Kohanim, but even on the Bailim. And that mitzvah of the Achila of the Karbanos, take that very animal now that was just hukrav as a Karban and puts that into your belly. That makes, or my belly even, it makes that you, and now you yourself also now have a connection with what? Where the entire Bria just got sucked into that carbon, brought back to the Ribbono Shel Olam. We're not makriv karbanos anymore, but right, the tefillos of the karbanos are our way to say, okay, we understand that the world that we're living in, the Olam Hazeh that we're in right now, is a place that there's a certain nekuda of ruchnigis that's going to bridge us back to the Ribbono Shel Olam. We move on. The psukah de zimra neged olam haruach, olam hamalachim hamishorim. The Psuki de Zimra is connected what he calls the Olam HaRuach. The Ruach, again, of course, is the part of our body we describe, actually our body, but part of our Mitzias that we described last week. That's the focal point of our Bechira, and so to speak, the spiritual things that are going on in our life here in Olam Hazeh. You move into the Birkas Kriya Shema Neged. Again, he uses a Kabbalistic word, which we're not going to translate right now, the Hecholin de Bria Ki Yadua. That's the next level in these Dalet Olamos. Up high, that's the Olam HaNashamos. And then, of course, you have the Shemona Esri itself, which is the highest of the four, which brings you back to the place right to right close, back to the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. Now, in the Nefesh HaChayim, he explains things a little bit more mundane right now than we just read. So with that paragraph, let's read inside the next couple of words. The Amiras Parashas HaKarbanos Ad Baruch Sha'amah. Listen carefully now. He explains this is a practical roadmap of what a person is doing and thinking and experiencing during his own davening. Okay, and of course, as we always remind ourselves, the Abad Devarim that Tzrichim Chizuk Tamid, as Rashi says, and Tefillah is one of them. We have to remind ourselves for the rest of our life when we're trying to develop our Avodas HaTefillah. These kinds of thoughts become very, very, very essential to actually having a proper kind of a davening. And again, to remind ourselves for the umpteenth time, three people can sit around the room, they're each going to work. 10 people can sit around the room, like making many, at least 10 people can sit around the room, and they're all davening. In theory, they're all saying the same exact words. They might be saying it at the same pace, they might be using the same sing-song, same nusach and all of that. The difference between each one of their tefillos, obviously, is going to be found in their mind, in the kavanas that are going. Do I understand what am I connecting with? Am I aware? There's something going on in my existence, so we should be doing that over here. So what am I having in mind? Yechavin lahalos kol bechinas hanafashos diasiya shua pinimius diasila diasiya. Person wants to have in mind what I'm doing right now is taking with me. And again, there's a heavy responsibility on our shoulders. I'm taking with me all of the nafashos, all of the people here in this world, all of the inyanim of that go on in this world. That are the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created that we live in. The Kololam Beruchos Diyetzira. I'm going to gloss over some of the words that are going to be hard for us right now. And I want to include them, connect them, we're going to call right now, to the level of Ruach, one step up in the spiritual ladder in the world of Yetzira. V'yichlo, of course, Gam Nafsho Imam Nekosho Beruchon Mai. Own being, of course, is going to be caught up in that also. Meaning to say, level number one of tefillah, the person says to himself or has in mind, okay, I'm davening all the birkas hashachar, all the karbanas, all the things of Olam Hazeh, but I want to take that and be able to elevate that, put it one step up, one step higher on the rung of the bria that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. Again, and we know with anything, to be able to get from the bottom up to the top, it has to be done. It has to be done by hadraga, it has to be done level after level. So I'm going to take one step up through the, what do you call it, through the tefillos of the karbanos. Baruch shomer birkas kriya shma yichlo kohen nafshin di asiya v'haruchin di yitzira v'gam b'chinas nafshin v'ruchah b'nishmas in the bria. And the next part you say, you know what, I have me and the world around me that I'm davening for and about and along with. I connected this Olam Hazeh to the world of the Ruach, but now we want to be able to take that and even up that one level also, to take the world of the Ruach and that a person has and attach it to the world of the Neshama. From Birkas Kriya Shema to the Shemona Esrei, you want to take your Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, and say, we're going to go even higher back to that, to the Shoresh of where our Neshamas had all come from. Now listen carefully to the very last line that he says over here with a couple more words of introduction. A person has on his shoulders when he's being mispalil, and a lot of people were asking different questions about this last week at a lot of different times up until today, but a person has on his shoulders when he's mispalil the responsibility to run and take care of the entire world, right? Part of what the Mishnah in Sanhedrin tells us that Chayv Adam Lomar Bishvili Nivra Olam, right? Is that, you know what? You know what? Bottom line is the buck stops here. I have an absolute achrayas to the world around me. A real responsibility. It's my Torah, it's my mitzvah, it's my ruchni, it's my shteig, and that's what's going to keep the world going. Okay? Chalila v'chas, a person sleeps in the morning or slacks off at any mitzvah, doesn't matter what it is. That's right, it has cosmic, major, bad effect. We don't like guilt trips, so don't be guilty. Just make sure you're doing the right thing. You don't have to be guilty. If you're doing the wrong thing, feel guilty. That's the way it is. In a healthy, psychological way, feel guilty, whatever. And see a therapist if you don't know what that means. Now, but a person has to realize that there's a lot of things that are sitting there on his shoulders at any given time. And when I'm davening, that's right, little old me, sitting in little old shul, and little old whatever it is actually now doing something that's big for this world. My tefillah on that first level of the Nefashos, right? I'm davening for all of us, for all of Klaus on the entire world, that our Olam Hazeh should come to its real fruition and recognition of Hakara and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I want all of us to be able, halavai, we should go up one stage higher to that world again, whether or not we understand all the terms, to that world of the Ruach. And all of that, when we're davening the next stage of the Psuge de Zimmer, we're saying to ourselves, you know what, we even want to go higher to the world of the Neshama. We eventually come back to a Shemona Esrei, which is described as the Shoresh, the root of where we're all coming from. And when a person is davening, listen very carefully to the analogy, davening and hopefully Bezer Hashem davening well and properly, like the, what was that guy, the Pied Piper, the guy that had all the little guys, the mice following after, and that person is davening and leading all of the world's Nefashos and Ruchin and Neshamas back there to the Shemaim. Eventually what happens is a grand old reunion in the sky. What happens? Hey, if we all got back to a Shoresh, if we all came back to our source, to the Shoresh, the root of where we came from in Shemaim, back in that Kisei HaKavod, all the Neshamas are Chutzav from Mitachas Kisei HaKavod, if we all come back to there, that means there's an incredible amount of what just happened, of Achdus, that a person has created in the world, Achdus in Ruchnius, Achdus in Gashmius, because of the collective tefillah that says we're going to take the Bria that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had and all of the Chelkei HaBria, as described last week, and bring it back home, connect it back to where it's supposed to be. The same way you can have a big, massive, what do we got, big, massive one over here? The refrigerator, the big, massive thing over there. And the whole big thing only works because in Israel you have three little dots that you plug into a wall. In America you got two of them, here you got three, okay? And you plug a thing into the world, and because of those three little points, you can have a whole big, massive machine that's going to work. And when machines are a little bit more mishuchlal, when they're a little bit more advanced than a refrigerator, you can have massive computers that can do lots of funky things going on in the world. And ultimately, they all only work because some guy plugs it into the wall. We haven't figured out, you get batteries, whatever it is, but like the bottom line is you gotta plug it, something has to be plugged into something. There's always one little point that something has to be touching something else to make a whole massive thing be able to work. Right? And that's the Metzius. That's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. The same thing is true in a real sense when it comes to the Bria itself. You want the world to function, you want things to go well, ultimately we have to be plugged in. There has to be a point where, here you go, you're back, so to speak, at home, back at that Shoresh. And where is that? Of course, the Shoresh and good old home for all of us is back there by the Kisei HaKavod. How do I get to there? I get to there through the four stages of the tefillah. When we all come home, right, and when we say we all, we mean also now the butterflies and the fish and all the other stuff that's floating. Are we all, and the grass and the sky and all the stuff, Domim, Tzemeya, Chai, Medaber, and we're all back there with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we stop and think about that now, there's also an incredible thing that just took place. The tachlis of why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the entire Bria is met on a very, very real and profound kind of a sense. All of a sudden, whether it's from the domain and the ground, back to the highest level of whatever it was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, and we all recognize, connect, feel, understand Him, and we know, oh, that's where we're from. That Hakara itself, Lashon HaRamban at the end of Parashas Bo, that Hodah, the fact that I admit, a Modeh, where I came from, or what it's all about, and where I was created from, that already is the kiyum of why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Yikiru v'yedo kol yoshvei seva, ki l'chatircha kol berech, tishava kol lashon. And me, little old me, and little old all of us, actually had a lot that we just accomplished through that act of tefillah. He brings over here that there's a minhag from the Arizal. The Arizal, there's two minhagim, one of them like we're aware about, one of them we're not so aware about, but there's a minhag from the Arizal that before a person davens, he's supposed to say, Hareini mekabel alai mitzvos esei shel v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. Many sidurim have that somewhere in the beginning of the davening. Sometimes you don't always look at the beginning pages like that, but many sidurim have them somewhere in the start. Why is that important to say I'm a kabel, the mitzvah of Avas Yisrael, before I start to daven? I don't do that before I shake a lulav. I don't do it before I blow a shofar. Why do I do it before I'm davening every single day? The Arizal explained, b'kitzur lashono, that because the essence of what a tefillah is this act of taking all of us together, and like we said before, bringing us back home, elevating ourselves, touching ourselves, inspiring ourselves from that encounter, this is with the Shechina and with the Kisei HaKavod. There's no greater act of caring, let's just speak about it in emotional terms for a second, no greater act about caring for Klal Yisrael than the act of tefillah. That's where we all are davening for each other, Balash and Rabbim, of course, davening in such a way that we're all connected back to the Ribbono Shel Olam. The more we all do it, and the more people are involved in doing it properly, obviously we're all better off. But every single person by himself is really doing something very, very big and major when he davens. There's another minhag that we have that's really based on the same exact thing, that people give tzedakah before they're davening. Some people give tzedakah in the middle of Az Yashir, and you try to give a little money away before you daven. It's not just a way to keep the air conditioning and electricity going in the shul and whatever it is, but that minhag is a as with many, many, many big and deep things, we have small little practical things that we do that are rooted in like a lot deeper concepts. The minhag of giving tzedakah by davening is rooted in the same yesod. If a person can remind himself just in a pashut, like physical level, I care about you, I'm going to, you know, drop a penny into a pushka and just do something to show my hishtatfus with somebody else. You got it in there? No, you're too late. Okay, whatever it is, but to show my hishtatfus, which our school was never good with like deep things. You know, just go with like the words in translation. That's what it's there for. Now,
I think it's about Rosh
Hashanah. Yeah.
Really? That's a different arena.
A different art school. Different time. Okay. Now, but that's where the minhag of giving tzedakah before the davening comes from also. Just to remind ourselves of the import of what's going on. You don't got it. Okay. Now, yeah.
Why would giving money for the air conditioning be considered tzedakah? If you're doing it for your comfort, really?
So that might not be right. You just, you know, keep an eye. Listen, it's stuck because you're helping out the tzibur and you're doing something. You know, the shul by itself that can't afford anything, so you're helping out. Like, you know, shul money is tzibur money. You're helping everyone's tefillahs. It's also a chashuv mitzvah. It's not the same kind of stuck as giving someone to, you know, money to an ani. It's not the same thing, but it's still definitely a good thing to do. Or you can just be hot. I'm one of the guys. I don't mind being hot. I can like 5 shekels of the air conditioning. Yeah.
We're all sort of like acting together to try to be like to help the tzibur. What's the point of a shliach tzibur?
What's the point of a shliach tzibur? Wow. That's a deep question. That's a very deep question. So the real answer is if by the end of the year, which I would vote is like a 99.999999999 chance we're never going to do, if we get up to Chazaras HaShatz, yeah, so then we can talk about it a little more. The short answer, okay, is that the short answer is found in it's a there's an incredible interaction, interplay between some of the Sifrei Machshava and Sifrei Halacha in many of these areas. So to use a lamdish expression and you know and try to understand, the words speak for themselves. It's just like, listen carefully. There's a difference between tefillah bit sibur and what's called tefillah's hat sibur. It's a much, much higher level of a tefillah that's being offered by all of us together and not by any one individual. Okay? What does that mean? Ayin sham. We're sham later. Okay, you'll get there. Now, that was all a brief explanation. Nefesh HaChaim was the hardest expression of some of the things we explained 2 weeks ago. of one model of what the one model of what the breakdown of the four chalakim of the siddur are. Now, there's also one other model that's there that's used by Mefarshim that's also very, very important. And there's not a steer between the two. The truth is, we explained in the first day we started with this chalak of the shiurim, we pointed out that the truth is there's an absolute correspondence between the two, but they bring out the same ideas from different forms. If you remember, we spoke about the idea of olam shana v'nefesh. There's the me, and the me is really the entire world that's incorporated inside of me, and in the physical world, like the world, like the bria part, right, has all the different chalakim of the person in it. The person is comprised of all the different things that are out there in the world, and the place that the Kadosh Baruch Hu had chosen to accomplish the same thing, where the entire world is connected, represented, found in that place. That place, of course, was the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash that eventually landed in Yerushalayim. Right? The Beis HaMikdash was the place that corresponds to the significance of the person. Now, in that vein, in one of the very, very, very significant Achronim, Yaakov Emdin has a long beer on the Siddur. It's called the Siddur of Yaakov, Siddur HaYavitz. The Yavitz, the Rashi tables, of Yaakov Emdin Ben Tzvi, who was the son of the Chacham Tzvi. So Yaakov Emdin in the Siddur HaYavitz has it's a very, very long parish on the Siddur. And there's a Gaon Olam. It's if you have time to read through the parish of the Yavitz, it's like a fascinating thing. Just as an example, I always find this humorous. Towards the beginning of Tefillah Shachar, so he brings us something that called Perek Shira. So he writes, and it's a dhamma to the Perek Shira. He says, I don't know what this thing is. He goes, I see, like, this never existed when I was growing up, and blah, blah, blah. And I see today people started to get guests. In our days, it became, like, incredibly popular. Like, every, like, girl walks around like a Perek Shira in her face, and it's all the, you know, it became a very, very popular thing. Jews across the world are sitting saying Perek Shira during Chazar Sashat, and other times that they shouldn't be, and doing a lot of different beautiful things. And so Yaakov Emdin says, like, I see it started becoming popular, so let me just, like, write a quick perush on Perek Shira. And you read it, it's like a gaonis, like, line after line, like, you know, I can't do that when I, you know, kick back on my couch. Like, I don't know what this is, hey, but I'll write a perush that, you know, lasts for pages. And so, I mean, you just appreciate what a bikiyas is. It was very, very impressive. In the Siddur HaYavitz, Yaakov Emdin has another scheme, another model for how the tefillah works and what a person should be thinking through when he's going through his davening. That's the... He describes he uses two different expressions, actually. He speaks about the sulam, the ladder that the tefillah walks us up, or we climb up the sulam of the tefillah up to the shemayim. But he also describes, most importantly, he says that the tefillah is in terms of the words that we say during the tefillah, and the parts of the tefillah mimics or copies or corresponds to the structure of the Beis HaMikdash, and the ultimate height that a person can reach is being nichnas lefnai lefnim, going inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim itself. That's going to correspond to the part of the Shemana Esrei, the person that happened, and you, when you made it, you and the Yibana Shalom. And the other parts of the tefillah are different. If you could imagine, like, and visualize a person approaching the Harabayas, going in through the Sharam of the Harabayas, being on the Harabayas, walking in and then to the walls of the Azara, going section by section. We've all seen maps of the Beis HaMikdash before, and he describes how each part of the tefillah corresponds to a different part of that journey from outside to inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So interestingly enough, if you look in the Siddur HaYavitz, on the top of each page in the Siddur, actually each page, because sometimes a section can last for a couple of pages, but in the top of every couple of pages, he actually labels which area of the Harabayas to Beis HaMikdash structure, of the entire compound, actually you're found in, so to speak, when you're in that part of the tefillah. Now, what we did over here to make our lives a little bit easier, both in terms of how it's formulated and not having to read everything, you know, together on our right now. The Siddur of Yaakov is actually not easy to read. The kanzas are hard. But Pinkus had done a very, very, as he often does, very, like, simple, down-to-earth job of walking you through the different parts of the Ali Siddur. I made a photocopy of that section for the Olam to look through. That's this and this. Now we're going to take a quick look through some of the ideas, just to get us thinking here. And since we actually now do have a full copy of this in front of us. We're going to be able to read a lot of it on our own, and we're not going to necessarily cover everything at this particular section. But I do want to point out a couple of things that he does here. So we're going to go through paragraph by paragraph, very very quickly, some of the yesodos that are here. Okay, and we're not really going to read inside, at least a lot of what I can read inside. He points out, as we began with, that the Mefarshim note the four basic sections of the tefillah. Second paragraph, he points out that we know that the four sections of tefillah leading up to the Shemoneh Esrei also have a reverse order, how to, so to speak, get out of the davening. Unless we think, getting out of davening, hey, that's easier for me to do. I do that every day, right? When I'm done davening, I can get out of it in a second. So the truth of the matter is, getting out of davening is not as easy as some of us think. Okay? And I think we gave a mashal like a time or two ago. If you fly up to the sky on your Boeing 7, whatever 7 they fly nowadays, and you decide like halfway through, I'm just going to abort ship a little bit early, open the door and take a step out, thinking that you're walking on to the, whatever they call that thing, the kevesh, whatever it's called in English, the gangplank, whatever it's called, the thing, another thing, another thing.
The gate?
What? You don't go into a gate, you go into that tunnel, the thing, you know what I'm talking about? The thing. What?
It's the tunnel.
We, no.
Can we call it
the tunnel?
Yeah, it's the tunnel.
It's not a gate. The gate is when you get to the airplane.
The thing has a name.
The thing. We don't know what we're talking about. The thing.
The steps.
Like they don't open the door because like the thing didn't hit the door yet. When the thing sucks onto the door, they open the door and you walk onto it. And then you dance to the gate.
It's called the gate.
It's called the gate. It's not called the gate.
It's called the gate.
The
thing that actually
doesn't really matter.
Yeah, that thing.
For right now, for our purpose, a person tries to walk out of the airplane while the airplane is still midair. Okay, and you start like just thinking, hey, every time I ever walked out of an airplane, I just walked onto like that thing. It's like, why can't I just do that right now? We all understand that that's a little bit ludicrous, like that can't happen, and you are going to be like very much like not in a good state by the end of this particular journey. The same thing is true when our ruchnius of a person like walks out in the middle of a major ruchnius climb. It's like a very bad idea. Got that? Very bad. Not a good thing. Very, very tragic for a person to step out early, because a person's mind is killing himself inside. How do we get out of the davening? So there's also a process. We're starting with Shemoneh Esrei because that's the height. You have the Ashrei and Kedusha, the Sidra section, that has a direct correspondence to the part before the Shemoneh Esrei, right? Before the Shemoneh Esrei, you had Birkas Kriya Shema, and right after the Shemoneh, the next section of the Tachanun gets lumped together with Shemoneh Esrei, but you have to learn the Shaar Beis of Nefesh HaChaim to understand why that we're not doing right now. The next part of the davening after the Tefillah is the Ashrei Uvel Tzion. Interestingly enough, in that section of davening, we really basically have the same exact kedusha that we had just been singing before the Shemoneh Esrei during the Shira Samalachim. You move back after that to the Shir Shayom, and then eventually to the Enkel Akeno and the Ketores. That's all the parts of the, like we said, the Shir Shayom is our little Psukah the Zimra, the Enkel Akeno, Pitam HaKetores is going to be back to the world of the Korbanos. Once I land back over here safely on the runway, then I can start learning Shnayim Mikra. But until then, right, we don't do it. You got to land safely. Now, he points out, though, in the next paragraph, that in the earlier Sfarim, they also speak about the concept of the Olamos. That's what we learned last week and a little bit of today. Od Matzina B'Divreya, and we also find another idea, again, this wasn't Rabbi Yaakov Emin's Chiddush, but he's the one who really spelled it out for us, that you have the breakdown of the Harabayas, the Azara, the Heichal. The Heichal is the building of the Beis HaMikdash, not some, you know, nice school in New Jersey. And then you have the Kodesh HaKadosh. And then you have Yishrei after that. Now, you have, like this, Harabayis, he says, is the Har Shebi Merkazo Hoya Bayis, the Beis HaMikdash. The Harabayis, as the name implies, is not just a mountain, but what makes the mountain significant, what makes the mountain significant, of course, is the fact that it's the place of the Beis HaMikdash itself. The Beis HaMikdash, right, also has different sections that are there. You have the Beis HaMikdash, the building that has the Ulam, then you have the areas, you have the Sha'arim that walk into the actual Kodesh, where you have the many of the Kelim that are there. And then you walk after that, you walk into the to the Kodesh HaKadoshim itself, and we know that each area in that Beis HaMikdash had each area in the Beis HaMikdash had different things that were allowed to get done or not get done inside those sections. So he explains in a very, very simple, one, two, three, four. In the fourth paragraph down, you have as follows. You have a harabayas, right? That's your on the outside. You have your Beis HaMikdash. But before you get to that, you have the Azara, right? That's the courtyard around the Mikdash. We know, as he points out, a karbanos lohukvu besoch Beis HaMikdash ela bachutz. Karbanos themselves are only brought outside of the Beis HaMikdash proper, right? Oftentimes you think about, well, we do the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. Technically speaking, that's not really true. The avoda is done in the Azara, the Chatzir, the Chatzros Beis Hashem. We're going to see how that works as we're going along. In the next paragraph, he speaks about the idea that in everything that exists in the Beis HaMikdash, there's the what he calls the Pinim and the Chutz, the inside part and the outside part. Okay? Each part has a certain division that's there also. The Beis HaMikdash itself, the building of the Beis HaMikdash, has the Chutz and the Pinim, right? The Azara and the inside. The Pinim Shebifnim, the inside part, has its own division. The Kodesh HaKadoshim. The outside also has its own parts. You have the Azara, right? The courtyard that's there, that's where we have, let's say, for example, the Ezas Nashim, where you can't be Makriv when you aren't Makriv Karbanos in that area. And of course, even further out, you have the Harabayas, you have the Harabayas itself. You have the outside of the Harabayas, and then, dealing with the outside parts, you have the Azara, right, the Chatz, the Azara of the Beis HaMikdash, where in some sections, at least, there's an Avoda that's going to be able to go on, the inside of the outside, so to speak. In other words, a further level on the part that's outside and surrounding the Beis HaMikdash. Now, so let's talk very, very quickly through how the experience of going into the Mikdash works. I think I'm going to start flipping the pages pretty rapidly. He describes in the bottom of page 14, Adam nichnas harabayis huyodeyash harabayis adayin eino Beis HaMikdash v'aflo machane levi. You know when you come inside that you're not there yet. Okay? But kanoi magia lahavana shekol mashu oseh sarach l'heosos al pi Hashem yisbar. But at least when you get inside the harabayis, if you're doing things correct, you have a certain recognition at least that, you know what, things are different over here. There's a Ribbono Shel Olam in the world. I'm coming to the Har Habayis, the Har of the base of Mikdash. And right now, I understand the very least. Hey, you know, there's something real, there's something serious. And as Pinkus calls it, hey, a person comes to a very least a basic understanding. Torah, mitzvahs, the Ribbono Shel Olam, these are things that are important to my life. You walk inside a little bit more into the Azara, and you see at that stage in the game that you know what, that there's something even more than that. Not just, hey, this exists, but you know what? There's an avoda that goes on over here. There are things that have to get done. There are behavior patterns that have to be, I'm trying to say it in simple English, behavior patterns that have to be taking place. There's an avoda sakarbanos, and that actually means something to me. My life has to be filled with my avoda sashim. Kishu nichnas laheichal hu maven. But when you walk inside the building, a person says, you know what? The Ribbono Shel Olam is like, he's here. He's like in this building right now. He's around with me. That's a certain higher level of recognition. Many, many people, even those who actually profess to be Shomrei Torah and Mitzvos, right? We do it all. Halavai. Many people are on that level, don't necessarily really still yet live with the feeling that I'm actually walking with the Ribbono Shel Olam at every moment, right? As the Rama points out in the very beginning of Orach Chaim, that the idea of Shivisi Hashem the Negdi Summit is a, well, it's the famous Lashon Rama, who Klagadol Batar V'maylos HaTzadikim Asher Holchim Lefnei Elokim, Shivisi Hashem the Negdi Summit, to realize that the Ribbono Shel Olam is with me, he's here, he sees, and is involved in everything I do, that's a very, very difficult madrega. A person who walks into the building now of the Beis HaMikdash, and you have a menorah, and you have a shulchan, you see right behind that door, whoa, that's a Kodesh Kadashim. You're like, really, he's there, and you know that. In the Kodesh Kadashim, there when a person actually, again, you have to be a Kohen Gadol on the 10th of Tishrei to actually have this experience, or die, you never live to tell about it, but you know, might be interesting to try, and I see it. I go, at least you got to see it, at least. And I should make the comment. Some of it seems to be like very like catchy. Like why not? Like that would be like exciting to do. Like you might as well. But whatever it is, we shouldn't do it very anyway. But the when a person actually sees, you know what? As he describes, ain't old milvado. There's something more than just There's a Rabbanu Shalom that sees me. It's like that. That's it. There's nothing else. I'm in a place that's like, wow, unbelievable, with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's a totally different madriga that a person has. Me'ata, the last paragraph before the start, he says, when we start to speak about the chalakim of davening, our Beis Hamikdash, if we go backwards, right, we have our Kodesh Kadoshim being the Shemona Esri, our Heichal, the building, is going to be our Kriya Shema and the Brachos. Our Azara is going to be the Pesukei Dezimra. Our Har HaBayis is going to be the first stage. It's going to be the world of the chelak of the Karbanos and Birkas HaShachar. And as he points out, he says the Kadmonim were marich at length to discuss these ideas, and we're going to try to be mitamtzeit to summarize in a very, very short kind of a form. Again, we're paying attention to the clock. Did that someone fix that? Uh-huh. My watch is good, but no, actually at the same time. That's a minute off. Okay, we still have one minute on the clock. Now, what was that? 52, my clock is fast. Okay, great. Okay, so I'll adjust for that too. Thank you. Now we have some more time. But let's run through a little bit more over here. We know, as we've said this, we're going to say it again quickly. To reach a height, to reach a summit, requires stages. A person has to do things little by little, piece by piece. A person wants to climb Mount Everest, right? You want to do like a very, very difficult thing. So aside from all of the achanos that a person has to make physically before he ever flies out to wherever that country is over there and like that, but after all of that, you first get up to whatever level, height of the mountain. It can take weeks of a person just getting adjusted to breathing the air and having his muscles functional differently because he's in a different climate. A little bit further up, there's another camp that a person's going to live in. Again, it's a very, very long process, right? We don't have we're climbing higher when we climb up to Shamayim, okay? We're climbing much, much higher and a much greater thing, but it also doesn't take weeks to do. Hey, I'm going to make up a name. Yanki, where were you for davening this morning? Well, I started weeks ago, but it takes me to Shemona Esrei. I can't do it today. I have to take weeks. Shemayim is like a big thing to do. So that we don't have the luxury of, but it's a hechrech to do right now. But it has to be done in stages. And in the same way, when you're coming down from Mount Everest, you're coming down from the airplane, you don't just jump out of the thing, and you can't just like roll down the mountain. You will die in the process of coming down also from what do you call it, from overdoing the changes in all the different climates and levels. And different things. Same thing is true when it comes to the tefillahs. Right? Those ideas we've explained. So let's speak quickly now about the stage by stage. We'll touch upon like a little bit of what each thing is. Again, and we're gonna really call this over here. I'm gonna start working through the actual. Now we have a background to what a siddur is, but we'll start working through the actual things next week. Be'ezer Hashem. Okay, so. To a part we're going to be able to. Okay. We'll do like that. I'm going to follow his order. I wanted to jump to something, but I think we'll just follow. Why not? We'll follow the order. Okay. We know that the climax of the tefillah, the height, of course, is the Shemona Esrei. And as much as we speak about the idea, when we learned weeks back, the Maisa tefillah, the Ikar of tefillah, the essence of tefillah, was the concept of being Omeid Lifnei HaMelech. Right? As we explain, all the words that we say are really just icing on the cake, but the tefillah itself, as Reb Chaim explained, the Maisa tefillah, right, was the Amida Lifnei HaMelech. And that's the thing that we have in our mind, in our essence, every moment that we're davening. If we follow, working backwards now, right, the picture of the higher bais and the Beis HaMikdash, when a person would be as close to the Ribbono Shel Olam as he can, in the Kodesh Kadoshim, right, as the Gemara describes, in the Gemara Brachos Nav Zayin, Re'isi HaKasrikel HaKoshim Tzivokos Shu Yoshev, something, whatever it is, the Rav Shmuel Kohen Gadol says, I walked in the Kodesh Kadoshim, and there he was, the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's an ultimate major, what we'll call the Amida Lefnei HaMelech. That's it. He's right there. Right there in front of us. When a person backs out a little bit and he's inside the Kodesh, when he's inside the building of the Beis HaMikdash, so that's where a person can come to a recognition, you know what, there is a real feeling of I'm here close to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, he has the closest to me, a Kirva to me, I appreciate the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's going to be encapsulated in the concept of the Kriya Shema Ubirko Seha, right? The idea of Achdus HaBorah, the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam in my life, etc. A person takes a further step back, and you walk into the world of the Azaros that are there, the outside parts of the walks into the outside parts of the Beis HaMikdash. So here we have something a little bit different. Now a person sees that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam in there, I'm living over here, but now you know what, there's a world of we're going to call it the world of avoda. There's a world of things that are going to get done. There's a world of mitzvahs, a world of kiyama mitzvahs that exists. The person for himself sees that as looking at the world that he's living in, the shemayim, the oretz, v'chol asher bam, and saying, you know what, all of this has a tachlis, has a purpose. There's an avoda. There's a behavior pattern that we're all supposed to be keeping. Ruach sara osa devaro, the very wind and the storm, all the crazy things are all osa devaro. They're all just following what the Ratzon Hashem is all about. That's the way the world is, and as we know, right, Rashi and Chumash in two different places points out this much. So when a person looks at the world around him and realizes, you know what, that there are lots of different brios in the world. Hashem created a sun and a moon, and the sun and the moon never really trade places. You always have like day and night, and you don't say, hey, now I'm going to get like, sun goes over to the moon and says, you know, I got to go on vacation, can we just like do two nights and I'll come back like tomorrow, for like I'm going to do like a 2-day pattern afterwards, because it doesn't work like that. There's a Seder out there, there are way things work. A person has to look at that and say, hey, why don't we ever like have a 2 days in a row, 2 day periods in a row, like that? Because that's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. Hey, like the sun and the moon, listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hey, maybe there you go, right? Maybe I should too. And the person, by looking at the world and the world experience, comes to thinking about the world and the world experience, comes to a kara of the necessity of avoda, of a life dedicated to a kiyum of the Ratzon Hashem. Further back than that, a person also starts to realize, when he comes back to his, like we described, the karbanos and the birkas hashachar, that a person is going to be davening. He said, you know what? First and foremost, I have to realize that at the beginning of my morning, you know what? There's like actually like a Ribbono Shel Olam here in the world. Now, you've heard of many, many people, right? Many, many people, too many, in fact, who will make a comment that, you know what? I believe in God, like I whatever it is, but I just don't like do all of the things. Again, I don't mean like in your immediate circles, but there's a concept of a Jew out there, is a believing Jew, but like, okay, you know, like I don't really do all the things. We've all heard of this, we've seen it, we've experienced it, we've met people that are like that also. Stage number one, though, right, for any single person that's out there, is to be like that. A person just to come to recognition, you know what, there's a Ribbono Shel Olam, there's a God in this world. What does it mean? What do I have to do? Do I feel Him? Do I see Him? Maybe not, but at least I know that such a thing exists. I don't think it was together as a group, but I think with some of his individuals, he spoke about the three B's. Correct? You know what I mean by that? No, so I guess we didn't do it with all that many people. Okay. Banner, 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 right? But we have the three B's. First one is going to be believing. The second one is belonging. Excuse me, I back up. Belonging, believing, and behaving. Okay? There's one stage where a person just feels he like belongs. This was speaking of Jews right now. I belong to something. I'm part of the Jewish people. That's like a level, right? There's something that's there. They're not like totally. Mechutz l'machane. Like, what does that do? It gives us a chance that maybe someday we'll be sucked into something higher. If I have some kind of an affiliation, some association. You can have a person who's the next B, a person who's believing. I don't do anything, but like, you know, okay, I believe in whatever it is. I believe God, Torah, the other. Mount Sinai, all of that stuff. Of course, the higher Madrega past all that is the guy who's behaving, the guy who's like doing what he's supposed to be doing as a result of that belief. First things first, when it comes to the world of tefillah in our Birkas HaShachar, we're just taking the world experiences and bringing that to a stage of believing. Hey, you know what? God created me. He opened my eyes this morning. He gave me the clothes that I'm wearing. He helped me get out of bed today. He helps me do my other natural, physical stuff that goes on when I wake up in the morning. The stage of believing, that's what it is. Here it is. It means something to me. There's an avoda, follow the world, follow the Ruach Sara, Osa Devaro, Haluba, Damaromim, Haluba, whatever it is that's there. Realize that, hey, you know what? Even more than that, forget about just like doing what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants, but he's here and he sees me and I'm supposed to be with him. And then, of course, you have the ultimate, that's it. There's nothing else other than my standing face to face with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Those concepts, those thoughts of davening, as we walk through the stages again, correspond to some of our different, in broad strokes, our different sections that are there of the Mikdash itself. A person starts off, I'm on the outside, right? I didn't even get to the Har HaBayis. So again, Yerushalayim is a chash of a place, whatever. I come to Eretz Yisrael, I'm somewhere in the world, wherever I am, but I'm certainly not there on the Har HaBayis. The Har HaBayis is the place that gets us a little bit more centered. Well, let's, hey, this is, there's a Ribbono Shel Olam, not just in this world, but on this mountain right over here where I am. Right? The chomos of the Har HaBayis signified to us, I just moved somewhere up. My world now is a very, very different world that I live in. I walk into the Azara after that, and I see the Karbanos. That's my experience of, hey, this means something to me. Right? That's our Psugi de Zimra. I walk into the building of the Beis HaMikdash, my Kriya Shema, and I say, you know what? Not just like, I got it. Hey, this is like real stuff. There's a Baruch Shem's Mamish with me every single second of my life. He's here, he's involved. The Achdus Habor is a very, very deep thing. More than that, right, we all follow him. As I'm saying this clearly, that part about the level of being with the Ribbono Shel Olam passed out Torah mitzvahs, or are we still too like immature for that? We go with this, right? Yeah? Everyone, you've all heard stories about your bubbies and zadies who like, not only were they like, were like great, you know, showing, but like they had this like total sensitivity to Hashgacha Pratis and Kadosh Baruch Hu helps me out in everything and this and that and like, whatever it is. Like I remember my wife's grandmother, was a very big tzaddikus. I remember when my zadi was nifter, so yeah, she was an almana, obviously, and that's a difficult thing. And so we had tried to help out in the house. And someone made a comment like, you know, like, hey, we want you to be alone. I mean, she got offended like anything. An incredible bothers someone. Yelling and scolding. Like, what about that? Like, I said, well, you don't want to be alone. You can't. Like, I'm never alone. Ribbono Shel Olam with all that. Like, what do you mean I'm alone? What are you talking about? Like, she could not fathom why someone would be concerned that a 90-year-old lady would be living by herself. Because, like, I'm not. Like, what's wrong with you? So that's a darga that's much, you know what I'm saying? Right? That's a madriga we don't all have. Say it like very, very bluntly. It's a very beautiful thing, though. That's our Kriya Shema, right? That's saying, you know what, a Kadosh Baruch was here, alive with me, mamish right now. But further than that is face-to-face, nothing else, this is it. And that's there in our, like we said, in our Kodesh Kadoshim experience that we experience during the tefillos. Now, on either any clock, I think we're over time right now. I would definitely recommend reading some of the Mashalim, some of the ideas that Pinchas spells out over here. It's Kedai, and it certainly would help the davenings a lot. Be'ezer Hashem, next time we actually are now going to start off with these like pictures in mind. We're going to start with the actual different Chelkei HaTefillah and go through each one of them a little bit more barichas, explaining different parts, what we're saying, what we're doing. And so we'll kick off a whole new section, Be'ezer Hashem, next week.